Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Church at Home. It's Sunday, October 4th, brand new month. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to what God has for us this month and our teaching and everything here at Harvest Church. This is our 30th Sunday together online. Man, can you believe it? 30 Sundays in a row. But just the fact that we're talking right now kind of demonstrates God's faithfulness. Here we are, and God is bringing us safely through this season that we're going through together, and God has the best things in store for us ahead, hallelujah, as we follow Him and as we serve Him. So I want to just thank you for just being a great church and a great online church. Thank you for your faithfulness, your prayers, your encouragement, everything that you do. I just bless you today. And I want to thank you, too, for your giving week after week and month after month. The Bible says that when we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, but when we sow bountifully or generously, we'll reap generously and bountifully. So God loves a cheerful giver, and I can just feel that you are cheerful givers. I just appreciate that so much. You know, as we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, God says this, that He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us if we'll just try Him in this matter of giving. You've been doing this so faithfully over and over, and I want to just let you know that we were able to end last month, September, out in front and strong, with all of our commitments paid and all of our bills paid and all of that. I just want to thank you for helping us to end the month strong. And here we're off and running right now again on a brand new month, which is the month of October. And I know that you'll be just as faithful as you were. So I bless you right now in your giving. Bringing is what we do, but blessing is what God does. So as you bring your gift, God is the one that turns everything around and He blesses what you do. And He keeps on restoring. In other words, our store that we have, God keeps on pouring more back in so that we can be generous on every occasion. So giving is an ongoing thing, but thank you again for just being wonderful, generous givers to the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver, and I bless you today for being so cheerful. Also, I've got some exciting news to share, and it has to do with our reopening. We just heard from Sacramento County, and as you know, they've been on a tier system right now, T-I-E-R, and the top tier is the purple tier, which means the COVID activity is widespread. The next tier down is the red tier, which has to do with substantial, and that tier is the one that we're in right now. It just happened on September 29th. So now we've gone down to this lower tier, which means that we could, have a maximum of 100 people on campus. But then there's another tier coming up, which is the orange tier. And the orange tier is moderate. And they're believing right now in Sacramento County and in Elk Grove that we have a good possibility of hitting that moderate tier by the end of October, by October 31st. That's actually the goal. So once we hit the orange tier, we'll be able to have 50% occupancy or 200 people, which is really what we're aiming at, and then we'll be able to go back on campus. So now, with this news, our plan is to reopen our campus on Sunday, November 1st at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and we'll be live streaming from those services, all right? So I just bless you right now, and I'm so excited. These stats are what we've been hoping for. They're right where we need to be, and we're looking forward to getting back on campus with you in person. And I know some of you will say, well, I might want to wait or whatever. Hey, we're going to be here for you, and our number one priority, as always, is your safety. So no pressure. We're just wanting you to have an opportunity that the doors will be open and we'll be able to minister to you in person or online. So God bless you. Now, today is the final message of our series, A Letter from James to You, the how-tos of becoming a better person and living a better life. We've been in this series right now for 14 weeks, and oh my goodness, we've had such a great time. I had someone contact me just a couple of weeks ago, and they said, Pastor, this has been such a great series. Let's just do it again. Let's just start over and do it again. It speaks to me every week. Well, that's kind of the way James is. James is considered one of the most practical, applicable books in the New Testament. It speaks to us right where we live. It's the how-to book on living life more fully. So today, great way to end this series, how to pray about your problems. When we have problems, when we have trouble, we're not just empty-handed, but we can pray about the problems that we have. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to read James chapter 5, verse 13 through 20. That's only 8 verses. So we're going to read these 8 verses, and I want you to read them with me. I don't want to read to you, but I want you to read with me. We'll go through these 8 verses, and then we'll kind of unpack them and make some applications to our life, all right? So let's start with James chapter 5 and verse 13. The Word of God says this in the book of James. By the way, James is an epistle, and an epistle is a letter. So this is the letter of James to us today, and he's speaking to us. And here's what James says. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs. So if you're having troubles, the Bible says, let's pray about it. And then the next verse says this. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Say with me right now, in the name of the Lord. So there's power in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they've done any sin, they'll be forgiven. Man, that's a powerful prayer right there. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, or your faults one to another, and pray for one another. So we're talking about prayer today. God's saying, first of all, you pray, but then pray for one another so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I got so much King James in me left over. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. That's how it goes in the King James Version, but now we're reading out of NIV, all right? And then James shifts gears, and he uses as an illustration the prophet Elijah, who is a great, powerful prophet. We almost think that Elijah would have been out of reach, you know, like he's like Superman, super prophet, but who are we? We're just kind of commoners, and we're trying to pray. But James says this, and this always gives me hope. Elijah was a human being just like we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for the space of about 3.5 years, and then it did not rain. And he prayed again, and then the heavens, after 3.5 years, gave up rain, and the earth produced its crops. So Elijah prayed this powerful prayer, and yet James says, you know, he's a man just like you, with a nature just like us. In other words, the takeaway here is if James could pray powerful prayers, you can pray powerful prayers, and I can pray powerful prayers. Hallelujah. That just encourages me. That James would say, you can pray the kind of prayers that Elijah prayed. Oh my goodness, that's just so awesome. And then James kind of ends this part of the chapter with this. He says, my brothers and my sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them both from death and cover a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Now, in the verses that we just read, the focus is on prayer. In fact, prayer is mentioned 7 times in this last passage that we just read together. So you know that prayer was really a priority with James. In fact, the key verse in our reading today and what we're going through today is James chapter 5, verse 16. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Hey, everyone. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You might say, well, Pastor Perry, I don't feel too righteous today. Well, it isn't our righteousness that matters. It's His righteousness in us and through us because we've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's what qualifies us for righteousness at all. But the prayer of a righteous person avails much. It's powerful and effective. So you just got to know that when you pray, prayer changes everything. So don't stop praying. Don't disqualify yourself from praying. Don't say, I'm just not a good enough prayer. No, just pray anyway and watch what God can do when we pray together. James was a man of prayer. He believed in the practice of prayer. He believed in the power of prayer. So, in fact, James became known in church history as the man with camel's knees. Now, what does that mean? If you've ever seen a camel's knees, it has big calluses on their knees from just kneeling down. So the camel will get, you know, tall camel kneels down, but then he has these calluses on his knees. But they would call James in church history old camel knees. In other words, because of the calluses on his knees from praying. You know, I don't know what you'll be known for. Maybe a lot of people will be known for lifting weights. That won't be me. But James was known as someone who prayed so often that he had calluses on his knees. Now, that's funny on one hand, but it's also very touching on another hand, that there's a man of God this man of God spent so much time just kneeling on his knees, and his prayers were powerful prayers. And our takeaway from that should be, man, I want to be just a little bit more like James. I want my knees just to be a little bit more calloused. I want to be known that I spent time and walked with God, and I spent time in prayer. That just touches my heart. So I want you to know today that there's great power in prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have as believers, because when we pray, we get to talk to God. Prayer is conversation with God, but you should know this. It's not that we get to talk to God, but God also talks back to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then prayer has the greatest power in Christian life, because it produces all of these things that God can do. In other words, prayer has the power to do what God can do. Prayer changes things. And then prayer also produces wonderful results. When we pray, things begin to happen. But one of the greatest failures that we make in life is when we fail to pray. No prayer, no power. But when you pray, you have greater power. So I just want you to know that, you know, if you say, Pastor Bear, I just think I've got a power failure in my life, well, you might have a prayer failure as well. But when you begin to pray, you'll find that more power begins to come into your life. So take time to pray and see God's power in your life. So there's great power in prayer. Now, let's talk for a second about when to pray, all right? When are the times that we need to pray? Well, the Bible tells us that we should be praying always, you know, pray in every circumstance. And, you know, that's really true. But in these certain special times that we pray, first of all, pray when you are hurting emotionally, when you're hurting emotionally. Is anyone among you in trouble? The Bible says, let them pray if you're in trouble. Now, that word trouble means suffering or hardship, distress. In other words, internal distress due to external circumstances. So we have many times these external circumstances that cause internal distress. God says, don't worry about it, don't fret about it, but pray about it. Pray about everything. So when you're having trouble is the time to pray. Let them pray. So I like what the psalmist said when he was in great distress. You know, David prayed a lot, but he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to him right into his ears. Hey, everybody, we're not worshiping idols that cannot hear or cannot see. We're worshiping a living God who hears our prayers when we call on his name. So in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to God for help. And man, my prayers came right into his ears. Thank God that God hears our prayers. Now, so when we're in trouble, we need to pray. But now, it's really a powerful thing to realize that our prayers reach God's ears, and he hears our voice. So the question is, how can God hear our voice when millions of other people are praying, especially today on Sunday? Millions of other people are praying too, so how does God hear our voice? I don't quite know, but I'll just say it because he's God. But, you know, in the same way that a mother can hear the voice of her child in a crowded nursery, guess what? God can hear your voice in a crowded world. He hears the voice of his children. And I want to just tell you with great assurance today, even though millions of other people are praying, God hears your voice individually. Praise God. Your cry goes right into his ears. Praise the Lord. Now, we're talking about praying when we have trouble. But what about when things are going great? Hey, everything's going great. Well, James covers that too, and he says this in James 5:13. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. If you're happy, then sing songs of praise. So praise is just another form of prayer. In fact, one of the highest uses of your tongue is to praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Psalm 150. In other words, if you're breathing today, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I get up to go walk and pray, and I walk down the street, and I'm on my prayer walk, and I pray Monday through Saturday, I go out to walk and pray. And I'll say, thank you, Lord, this is the day that you have made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I praise the Lord. God, I just praise you right now. You're the maker of heaven and earth. You're a big God. But Lord, you're not too big to have fellowship with me. Thank you, Lord God. And then the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So if you're happy, man, keep on rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Somebody should write a song, you know. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And then you go, doom, you know, that kind of thing. And here's what I'm saying is, I just sing a song to God. You know what I'm saying? You know, nobody's buying my albums. I'm not on the radio or anything, but God smiles when I get to sing. You know, I sing to God every now and then, and God will put a song in your heart. Hallelujah. And you go, Pastor Perry, aren't you concerned what people will think of your singing? No, let me tell you what. I've been delivered from public opinion. I'm just making a joyful noise to the Lord, and you can do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you love it when your little children are singing? It makes you smile. When they're singing and they're dancing, hey, you can do the same thing. Don't lose that along the way. Keep on singing a song to the Lord. So we need to pray when we're in trouble. And the second thing is we need to pray when we're hurting physically. We have so many people that we pray for every week that are hurting physically. People that are just sick in their body, and people that just need a touch from heaven, a touch from on high to be healed. And so when we're sick, especially, man, I'll tell you what, when you get sick, you begin to pray. And the Bible says this, and James says this in James 5:14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, we're not on campus right now, so we can't really call for the elders of the church to anoint them from oil unless we came over to your house. But right now, we're not even supposed to go over to houses and visit. So, but it says we can anoint with oil. Do you know that you're the priest of your home and you can anoint those people in your home that need to be anointed with oil? And you say, well, Pastor Perry, I don't know if I have any anointing oil. Just use olive oil. You've got olive oil in the pantry, or vegetable oil, or corn oil. You know, I've heard of people that ran out of all of those oils and used motor oil. You know, I don't recommend that. But if you were in Israel right now, you'd probably use some olive oil, and that's easy to get anywhere. Just take a little bit of that olive oil and just anoint that person with oil. Oil has to do with the Holy Spirit. Oil has to do also as like a healing agent. Anytime that somebody has a wound, you might apply oil to that wound, and it acts as a way of bringing healing and taking the pain out of that wound as well. And so anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then what happens? James says this, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. All these things happen just when we pray. Praise God. So we need to pray when you're hurting physically. Now, not only do we need to pray when you're hurting physically, but also when you're hurting spiritually. So people need prayer emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So especially, you know, when we've sinned, we begin to hurt spiritually because we know that we're away from God and there's an ache in our soul. But watch this. James says this, if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. That's why we pray. God, I pray right now that you'll cleanse me from every sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord God. If I sin, you are faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. We do that in prayer. So just know this about sin, everybody. Hey, sin separates us from God and impairs our prayers. If you want your prayers to be blocked, well, then just continue in your sin. In fact, the psalmist said it this way, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. In other words, if I don't deal with iniquity, if I kind of keep my own iniquity, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't even hear. But certainly God has heard me. He's attended to the voice of my prayer. Thank you, Lord God. So the best way is just to humble yourself and to pray. And instead of regarding your sin, get rid of your sin, and then your prayers will be heard by God. We want our prayers to be heard. So what should we do? Well, James shares that with us right now. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, or your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So the Bible says this, not only do we pray for ourselves, but we pray for one another that we might be healed. Just a wonderful thing. Now, let's talk for a moment about who should pray, all right? Should just spiritual giants pray? In other words, pastor prayer, I'm just going to leave it to the pastors to pray or the priests to pray. I'm going to leave it to these evangelists to pray or the prophet or whatever, or a teacher to pray. I'll just leave it to the giants that can pray because I don't think I have their kind of faith or their kind of, you know, ability to pray. No, we're missing it if you feel that way. In fact, James said this. He said in James 5:17, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. But remember this, he said Elijah, that great prophet, was a person just like us, and then he prayed, and the rain stopped. That's a powerful prayer. And then he prayed again, and then the heavens gave rain, and the earth opened up and produced its crops. But the prophet Elijah, at one time he was on Mount Carmel having a showdown with all of the prophets who were worshiping Baal, this idol. And they had a showdown on Mount Carmel, and the fire of God came down on that sacrifice that they built. And right after the fire of God came down, they were able to slay 450 false prophets. This made the king's wife, King Ahab's wife, who her name was Jezebel, so angry at Ahab that she said, I can swear right now that I'm going to kill Elijah. I'm going to kill Elijah. And I'll tell you what, Elijah went running for his life. In fact, Elijah experienced the greatest highs in his life, but then followed by some of the greatest lows in his life. And he was out there just running for his life. But he prayed powerful prayers, and God was with him. So James is saying this, Elijah's a person just like us. He has high highs, low lows, but he prayed a prayer that just stopped the rain because of all the sin in the land. It stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and it started to rain again. And again, James is saying, you can pray those same kinds of powerful prayers in your life as well. Praise God. Now, let's talk before we close today about how can I pray more effectively? And let's do it from the book of James, all right? The book of James is 5 chapters long. We've just gone through it during these last 14 weeks in this series. It's 5 chapters long, so it's not a very long book at all. So we've learned some things along the way, but let's just see what the book of James has to say about how to pray, and we'll look at them right now. First of all, I must ask. I must ask. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. You have not because you ask not. Last Sunday, everyone, just another normal Sunday, but Barbara had, through the night, gotten sick through the night, and she woke up and she had a fever and she was sweating and she just wasn't feeling good all day on Sunday. So we just kept an eye on her. Man, she was so lethargic. She said, I could hardly even get out of bed and walk across the house. I was just so lethargic. And she said, I've never felt that. And she says, well, I'll just watch it. You know, the next morning she woke up on Monday morning, just this last Monday, and she felt worse than the day before. And so by noon on Monday, she said, she called me and said, you know, Perry, I've got to go. I just called an advice nurse, and I'm going to have to go to the hospital, and I think I might have COVID. And she said, because she was getting tightness in her chest, and then she began to cough, and then she had the fever and everything. And she said, I said, you're kidding. I said, no, I think so. So the advice nurse said, just call 911 now, and so we can take you into the hospital. And she said, well, I'll just ask my husband to do it. And right after she hung up the phone, the advice nurse called right back. Have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? And yeah, they said, you know, we're on our way. So we got in the car, and then I started driving from our house to Mercy General, you know, and went down Walton Boulevard and then went on Bruceville all the way in that long trek from Walton to Mercy General. And as I went, I was going, oh, Lord, because here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about Barbara and COVID, and I'm saying, well, maybe she's got it. I'm going to have to be tested for it, too. And if we do have it, we're going to have to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. I had all these things just going over me just like that, just overwhelmed with care on the way down there. But then I said, Lord, I just prayed out loud in the car. Lord, your word says, We have not because we ask not. So, Lord, I'm just asking you right now. You know what we're up against right now. You know the symptoms we have. And Barb is sick right now. But, Lord, I just pray that you would intervene. And, Lord, whatever happens, Lord God, I just pray for your keeping power over us. I just pray that, God, if we are sick, that we won't get really, really sick. But I said, God, I just pray right now that you'll just intervene. And you said to ask, and I'm asking right now. And, Lord, and then when you're praying for other people, many times you have more faith for them than you do for yourself, you know? But I said, God, I just pray that I have the faith right now just to pray and ask you just to intervene in our situation. Well, we went to the hospital, and there next to the hospital was a big tent set up, which they had instructed us to go to, and that's where they test all of the COVID patients. So we went, registered in, got in the tent, and they went through all of the tests and everything. They went through the nose test and everything. We put the Q-tips up your nose, did the chest x-ray and everything, and then did all of the exams, took the temperature and everything. And then the nurse there, and God bless all of our nurses. I love our doctors and our nurses and everyone that's on the front line. God bless you for all that you do. But anyway, they just said to Barbara, they said, well, you've definitely got all the classic symptoms of COVID. And then she told her about told the nurse about how she'd been so weak and then had the fever. And they says, yep, that's usually where it starts. And then you take it from there. And then, you know, you go on this 2-week journey. But it looks like, you know, it looks like you've got it. But we won't know, you know, they took the test. So anyway, went back home, went through the night. But then the next morning, after we'd prayed, Barbara was feeling better. She says, man, I feel half again as better than I did yesterday. Yesterday was so tough. But now I feel like just halfway back. And then woke up the next day and she said, I just feel like I'm normal right now. And then, so on that day, we got a call from the hospital, and I was just wondering, what's the call going to be? And they called, and the lab called and said, we just want to call and let you know that you tested negative for COVID. You don't have it, and you're completely clear. Oh, my goodness. When I heard that news, I just came downstairs, and I said, gave Barbara a hug, and I said, Barbara, let's pray right now and just thank God for the answer, because God has certainly intervened. So I must ask, is this point, I give you a long illustration for a short point. James says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. I don't know how God works in all of these situations, because I know that you're praying and you're asking God, but he says, ask God and ask him clearly. And I want to encourage you to keep on asking too. There's another part to prayer that says, I'm going to persist in prayer. I'm not only going to just knock, but I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on asking. And God responds to that kind of prayer. Secondly, we find in James, I must have the right motives. And James 4:3 says this, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you might spend what you have on your own pleasures, like kind of heap it on yourself. You're kind of like asking God, God, I've already got 3 of these things, but I need one more. And really, you don't need what you're asking for. And God is saying, you know, you're asking with the wrong motives. But when we ask with the right motives, that's when God really hears and answers and blesses us. Third thing is this, is I must live a clean life. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, James says, and we read that today. Again, remember this, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not about your qualifications necessarily, although you need to live a righteous life, but our righteousness of our own is just as filthy rags. It's nothing before God. The only thing that qualifies you is the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you righteous. You are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And that, so in other words, that's what God sees. He sees that you're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Lord God. So the prayer now, when you pray, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The fourth thing is this, is I must believe when I ask. So when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, because whoever doubts is like the wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. The other day when I prayed, I just said, God, I prayed out loud as we were going to the hospital, you know, going to the ER room in the car. I said, God, I just ask of you right now to intervene in this situation and bring healing to Barb. Lord, I want to have faith, Lord God, for healing. I don't want to doubt. I want to have faith. So I must believe when I ask. Hallelujah. And God answered prayer and brought a healing. Now, so we thank God that when we pray, everything changes. Hallelujah. And prayer changes things. It changes everything. Now, James, after he talks about prayer, then he kind of just shifts gear at the end and the last two verses. And here's what he's encouraging us to. When you've prayed, be persistent to win souls. Let me say that again. When you've prayed, be persistent to win souls. Or let me put it this way, to warn souls or to turn souls from the error of their way. Now, he says this, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So there's a lot at stake when we are witnessing to one another. Sometimes your witness will actually save that person's life by turning their life to Jesus, right? So I have a friend of mine that I've known for much of my life, but because we live states away, time and distance, you know, have caused us to be apart for many, many years. But I every now and then will call him and check up on him, and I found in the last couple of years that he's wandered from the ways of God. He's wandered from good doctrine, and I care about this person very deeply. So I called them up the other day and just had a conversation with them, and I'll be calling them up again and talking about, like, I said, where are you right now in your walk with God? What do you believe? And why do you believe in what you believe? And then I'm kind of saying to him, hey, you know, I'm kind of like your James 5 guy here. I'm not going to let you go without a fight. You know what I'm saying? In other words, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death. And I want to be that person in the life of somebody else. If I see somebody walking away and wandering from the truth, I want to bring that person back to God. So what am I saying here? We have a purpose when we pray. And that purpose, you know, we do all of this praying. It's for physical, emotional, spiritual healing and all of those things that concern us. But after we've done, after we've prayed, let's go out also to touch the lives of others as well. And I'll tell you what, we have a purpose in being able to just turn people who've wandered away from the Lord back to the Lord in the name of Jesus. So when you pray, not only do your prayers have great power, but they have great purpose as well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we've talked a lot about prayer. We've just ended our series in James right now. I just encourage you to read James again if you'd like. You know, you could read it in just the space of probably 30 minutes. It's just 5 chapters long. But we've talked about prayer today, and James was a person of prayer for sure. And I'd like to pray for you today, whatever you might be going through. I just really believe the power of God is here, and God can touch you, and God can intervene in your life, and God can meet your needs. So as James has encouraged us, I just want to pray for you right now. Would you just bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you right now for speaking to us through your word. Thank you, Lord God, for all that James has shared with us about the purpose and the power of prayer. But Lord, right now, I just pray for those who are watching today that you'd touch each one with your healing touch, Lord God, that you'd give every person that's looking to you for direction, the direction that they need. Everyone right now that needs to be lifted up emotionally, Lord God, that you lift them up emotionally. There's so many people that are suffering from anxiety and depression. We just come against that in the name of the Lord. God, I thank you right now that you'll give them the peace of God that passes all understanding. So, Lord God, I just stretch my hands towards every person that's watching right now, Lord, and I thank you right now that your peace is just flowing right towards them, that your healing is flowing right towards them, that your wisdom is flowing right to them right now. Lord, that you're leading them by your Spirit, and Lord God, you're intervening in their lives. Lord, I just pray that people that have chronic disease, that you'll heal them of that disease right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you'd heal them completely in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray right now for people that have terminal disease, God, that you will intervene. And Lord, you did that just over and over again. You healed people of every disease that had a name. So Lord God, those that are watching today with terminal disease, God, I just pray right now that you will intervene and completely heal them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray these prayers in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you in advance for a blessing that comes from your hand. And we pray it right now in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to leave you today with a blessing before we close today. And here's the blessing that I want to give you. It's found in Psalm 20, verse 1. And it says this: in times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. And may the Lord send you help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. I just bless you with that word from the Lord today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, which is going to be October 11th, we're going to talk about your salvation. And I've got good news to share with you regarding your salvation, something you might not even know. And the title of my message next week is going to be called Saved and Sealed. I know that you're saved. Many of you that are watching me, you're saved. Thank God for your salvation, but you're also sealed. We're going to talk. What does that even mean? We'll talk about it next week, man. I just got this word from heaven just several days ago, and I can't wait to share it with you, because I know that's going to encourage you from the inside out. So that'll be next Sunday. God bless you. Well, thanks for joining us today for Harvest Church at Home, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 9 and 11. And three Sundays from now, we're going to look forward to seeing you on campus right here at Harvest Church on November 1st, Sunday, November 1st at 9 and 11. So God bless you, and have a great week.